So a couple of weeks ago, we had the explosion in Parity at the Phillips plant. We lost a young man from Thibodeau named Josh Helms. I did not know Josh, but I feel for his family, and I pray that you would continue to pray for his family. There are other men that were hurt and involved in that, and they're recovering. And so let's just remember to keep praying. But when that happened, we had detours that happened just like that. I mean, I'm coming back. It's a Thursday, and I had just dropped Lisa off, and we had spent the afternoon in the city. We just really had a good time. I'd picked her up from the airport. Nothing like seeing her come walking through that gate. I'm just telling y'all. Hey, we're Facebook official. She put a picture of us on Facebook, so I can talk about it now, right? I mean, I can talk about it. So I am in a relationship, and so I am going to have to stop some of this brave talk that I do about couples. I got to tighten myself up. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so we were coming back, and I dropped her off, and I was coming down 90, and there it was. I mean, you think life is just like you always are. You're going to come down 90. You're going to turn left on Bayou Gosh Road. Thankfully, I needed to turn left on Bayou Gosh Road because everybody else had to turn left on Bayou Gosh Road. And then they had to turn right on WPA Road. And I told you guys that WPA stands for Works Progress Administration. And I was showing off. And I can tell y'all are just as impressed now as you were then that I knew what that was. Did anybody look that up by chance? Nobody. I have no influence in that area. But that's... That road's obviously been there a long time, if it's a WPA road. So they had to detour. And we talked about the fact that things happen in life where you think you're going to have, everything's going to be normal, and you think it's going to be just like it's always been, and all of a sudden you hit a life detour. I mean, it could be a marriage problem. It could be divorce. It could be losing a job. It could be with one of your children. It could be finances. It could be your health. And so many times... these detours come, and we don't know how to handle it. And last week, or when we began the series, we talked about that we are redirected by detours, just like this traffic was redirected. And they went down WPA Road, and I wound up telling you about my experience on WPA Road and how someone called the popo on me because I was out there with my dog. And I was trying to catch a coon, and they thought I was going to shoot my dog. So you guys need to go to the archive and hear that story. It's an interesting story. And it's going to be great because I'm already thinking one day, because she's in the neighborhood, she's going to come to this church. Amen. We're going to get her in because we get everybody in, right? Right. And I'm going to totally embarrass a first-time visitor and say, this is the one. No, I'm okay. So when you detour, a lot of people saw Bayou Gosh Road and they saw WPA Road, and they've never seen this part of the country. And so when you go on a life detour, you're going to see things you had not seen before. You're going to see things that you didn't choose to see. You didn't want to be there, but this is where life has taken you. And one of the things that God does when he directs your life is he wants you to learn things that you would not have learned otherwise. Sometimes he leaves us in a detour because he's teaching us. And I've told you, because of the hardest times that I've been through and the worst failures that I've been through, going through a divorce, raising four kids by myself, and messing up totally. See, when I say that, and a lot of people go, oh, you're such a good dad. You're such a good... I am not. I blew it. I feel like I did. I must have done a few good things, you know, because they're all alive and... fairly, you know, functioning fairly normal, but God just had mercy on me, and he helped me, and he picked me up, and I don't know about you, but occasionally I will still do something so dumb that I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you still capable of that, Keith Bryan? Are you still capable of that? And I have to go to God and say, okay, get me off this detour one more time. Let me learn what I need to learn. One of the things that I've learned from that experience, though, is I do know how to have, I think, more compassion and mercy on people. I understand what it's like now, better than I ever have, to just really need someone to have mercy on you. Just to really need someone to believe in you and tell you, you know what? I know what it's like to feel like it will never change. I know what it's like to feel like you're a complete failure. But listen, I believe and I have hope for you. And so when you're redirected, God teaches you things and shows you things that you would not have seen before. So even though it's painful and even though you don't like it and you wish it had not happened, because of his providence, remember we talked about his providence, he's working it out for your good. And Romans 8:28 is a great example of God's providence. It says all things work together for the good, even when you have taken a detour of sin. And listen, somebody this morning, like me, we all need to hear this sometimes, is you have detoured, you've taken a detour of sin, you've fallen back into some things that you had come out of, and you're taking a familiar detour in some areas, some of you, and I'm just telling you, God's calling you out this morning, that it's time to get back on track, it's time to wake up and understand it's not too late, and because of his providence, he's still working, even though you've been on a sin detour, he's still working it out for your good. Isn't that awesome? I may have to pay a price. There's a price to pay for sin. There's a price to pay for decisions we make. But still, God says, I'm still going to give you grace that is sufficient for you. And I'm still going to use it for your good. It may be that I'm more humble. It may be that I'm able to guard myself differently or help guard others differently. Are y'all with me? Okay. Last week I told you, you know, while we're waiting in a detour, we're delayed, be sure that you get God in the middle of what you're doing. And I just want to reemphasize that before we get started on today's message on detours. All of this is we're studying what we've already done. Wow. Review. Big word I couldn't think of. We're having a review right now, and the last thing I want to review is last week we said, when you're delayed and you're waiting, get God in the middle of what you're doing. Let God in. And I just want to emphasize that. Get help. Let God help you. And sometimes getting help means going to a friend that you trust. I've had to do that in the last 2 weeks. I went back to a pastor friend, and I've said, listen, I need some help. I need some accountability. I'm feeling weak in an area. I don't want to continue to be tempted in this area. I need you to hold me accountable. Let's make sure we have this covered. And sometimes you need to do that to get help. Sometimes you need to get professional help. You need to go. I mean, the person beside you needs help. Just look straight at me. They do. We all need help. But sometimes we need professional help, and that's okay to go see a counselor and talk to someone who can help you figure out why you're staying on this detour and why these things are happening in your life. I need it. We all need it. Listen, we are never so good and so righteous that we don't need help. So I encourage you, if you're on a detour and if you feel stuck and you feel like you're waiting, make sure you're getting help. Now today I want to finish up the series and talk about how to get out of the detour. Sooner or later you want to get back on track, right? Now, in one of the services, I just said, how many of you have been to a corn maze? And then I realized, we don't grow corn around here. Some of you have maybe never even seen a cornfield. I don't know. But has anyone ever been in a corn maze while you were traveling? No, maybe one or two people. Okay, good. So where I'm from, they grow a lot of corn, and they will go in there like during October, and they will cut a maze into the corn. Then they'll charge you $10 or whatever, and you can go out there and try to find your way through the maze. And there's a lot of dead ends, and I mean, some people can stay in there for hours because they're just goofy and they don't know and they keep making and that's kind of how we are on detours. We want to get out, but it's like a maze, and we make a decision and we think this is the right way, and then we come back and we look down on the ground and we think, wow, I think that's my footprint. I believe I've been here before. And we're just kind of circling. When I was young and game shows were really popular on TV, there was a game show, something about the maze. But anyway, at the end of the show, someone would stand on a platform like this, and they could look down into a maze. And they would have a person go in. You guys are picturing a maze, right? You go in, and it's got all these dead ends, but there's only one way in and one way out. And they would have to tell that person, okay, turn right, go forward, turn left, go, you know, and they guide them through the maze. And it's amazing to watch that show because they only have a certain amount of time. And the person's saying go left, and the one down there is turning right. And you're like, what are they doing? And everybody's screaming. And sometimes that's how you feel when you want to get out of a detour. God's directing you. You're not hearing. You're making mistakes. You're doing things that's keeping you in the maze and keeping you stuck. So this morning, to conclude this series, I want to talk about how to get out, how to get out of detours. God doesn't want us to stay on them. They happen in life. We get detoured, but he has a purpose for us. And he's, even in the detours, he's working that purpose and plan. The first thing I want you to see this morning, if you want to get out of a detour, stop running. Stop running. You just, sometimes you have to slow down and stop running. What does running look like? I see people run in the neighborhood, and I can tell you everybody looks different when they're running. You know, I mean, some people are like, you know. And I've noticed Tom Cruise runs in every movie of his, and he keeps his hands like this, and he just looks like he is flying, you know. So everybody looks different when they're running, but everybody looks different when they're running spiritually too, when you're on a detour. How do you run? And God says, you know what? At some point, you have to stop running. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Everybody say a way out. That's what we're looking for this morning, is a way out of detours. And in this case, to stop running many times means that we quit falling to the same temptations that we always fall to. We run to alcohol or to drugs because we enjoy the euphoria that they give us. So we're out of the pain of the detour for a while. We're out of the frustration of the detour for a while. So we learn to run. We run to someone's arms who may not be our husband or our wife, but we can feel secure and we can feel loved and we can forget about things for a while. We run to what is familiar, even though what is familiar is dysfunctional. And there comes a time when God says, listen, I know you're tempted to run. I know you are tempted to run, but no temptation is going to come against you that I have not given you the power to overcome. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Stop running. We run because we feel hopeless. We feel like we don't really believe that we're able to overcome the situation that we're in. And we don't really believe that God is helping us. So we just keep running. We just keep trying to escape. You may think that God's not helping you. You may think that he's doesn't love you or he's so displeased with you that you might as well run. You may feel like because you have so many doubts that God's not going to help you because you have doubts. And can I tell you, God has always worked with people with doubts. He honors faith and faith pleases him. But even with faith, you can have doubts right beside him. The fact that you have faith doesn't mean that you're not going to doubt sometimes. But here's the key. Just because you doubt doesn't mean you have to run. If you want to get out, if you want to get out of a detour, a life detour, stop running away and fall into the arms of Jesus. Just fall back into the one that you can trust and say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to fix this on my own. Remember, one of the ways we know that we're waiting patiently is we stop trying to force it and we stop trying to fix it on our own. And we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to come back into your arms because I want you to guide me. I want you to help me. I want to get out of this detour. There's another way to get out of detours, and that's when you realize that you are called to serve, and you serve your way out. What does that mean, Pastor? That means there comes a time when it's not about me anymore. I go through this hurt, and I go through this pain, and I go through detours, and I automatically, and it's true, I have to for a while, I turn inward, and I have to deal with me, and I have to deal with my pain, my sin, my dysfunction, the hurt that someone else has done to me, and I have to deal with that, and I have to let God deal with that. But if I stay turned inward, I'm going to stay on a detour, because here's God's plan for us. We are all called to serve, and when we connect our victory to others. When we will connect, okay, my victory is not just going to be about me, but it's going to be about others. When I can connect my victory to others, then I'm ready to come out. And here's the deal. We will lie to ourselves and say, I am not good enough. I don't have everything together well enough to minister or to serve someone else. And you never will, okay? Not, we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to just be, you know, living two lives. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, if you wait for perfect conditions to love and serve someone and offer someone what you have, those perfect conditions will never come, because your perfection or your completeness in healing, your completeness in coming out of a detour, is going to be tied to how well you love others and serve others out of what you've been through. Does that make sense to you? So what we do is we connect our victory to others. Look in Job 42:10. Job had lost everything. He'd lost his wife, his children, his finances, his business. He was completely wiped out. And he went through this process of dealing with God, finding out in this mess, in this life detour, who is God and who am I and how did this happen and why did this happen? And at the very end, when God is about to restore him, I want to show you how Job was restored. In Job 42:10, it says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. How many of you want double for your trouble? How many of you want double back what has been lost and what has been stolen for you? Then there is a principle in God's word that you tie your victory. You see that your victory is connected to others. Everybody say others. Others. If you will see that your victory is connected to others, that I'm not just in this for me, but I'm in it for others. I'm in it for souls. I'm in a battle for souls. There's a story in the Old Testament where the Arameans have come against Israel, and they have laid a siege against Jerusalem. That means they've closed off the city so that no food or water can get into the city. They can't, especially food and supplies, they can't get any materials into the city. The enemy has it surrounded. They've laid siege to the city, and people are beginning to starve. And the man of God, Elisha, comes along and he says, tomorrow, it even said like they would pay 80 pieces of silver or 80 shekels for a donkey's head, which is not like, you know, going to Galatoire's or, you know, this was like, it wasn't their preferred food. So it was like paying $20 a pound for hog head cheese. Okay, now you with me, people? Okay, all right, okay. So it wasn't prime real, but people would have paid a lot of money for a donkey's head. And Elisha comes up and says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be able to get all the grain you want for pennies. And they were like, there's no way that can happen. This place is under siege. Well, what happened was there were four guys that were lepers. And lepers in the Bible were outcasts. How many of you have ever felt like an outcast? How many of you on the inside have ever felt like you should be an outcast? I have leprosy. I've done things. I've made mistakes. I'll just sit here on the edge because I'm not like all of these spiritual people, okay? You know, the truth is you're probably more real than the spiritual people. And the spiritual people, they don't have sores like lepers. So you can't look at them and see their sores. But they have just as much that they deal with on the inside. They just don't have the sores that you have. What we call spiritual people. Are you with me? So these four lepers, they're talking amongst themselves. They're under siege in this city. The camp is outside the city. And they say, you know what? If we stay in here, we're going to starve to death and die. I said, but if we go out there to the Arameans, they're probably going to kill us. So no matter what happens, we're just going to die. Life's looking really good for us. But they decide, but you know what? If we're going to die anyway, why don't we die trying? So they did. So they said, we'll go out there to the Arameans and we'll just see if they'll give us some food. We'll see if, I mean, they're our enemy. We know they're going to kill us, but let's do something. Are you with me? So they go out. They figure they're going to die anyway. They get out there to the camp, and they didn't know it, but God went ahead of them. And these four lepers, outcasts from society, everybody given up on them, they are useless to society. They're just walking out there, and God gets in their little walk, reverberates it through the spiritual realm, and makes it sound like a vast army coming against the Arameans, and the Arameans all flee, and they leave everything there. They leave their gumbo on the stove, on the pot. They leave their piros. They leave their guns, their boats, everything. And when the lepers get there, they got all the stuff. And they're like, oh, my goodness. And they start digging into the gumbo and the jambalaya and the potato salad. Have y'all eaten yet? Are y'all hungry? I got a third day bowl of gumbo. That's all that's left. It's the third day. And I made gumbo for Lisa 3 days ago before she left. And I got that third day bowl left at the house. How many of you know that's appropriate? Third day, risen Christ, beautiful, best gumbos on the third day. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. I just want to let y'all know. And I made my own roux. And then I added some out of the jar to it. But anyway, I did make my own roux. I did. Lord wouldn't let me lie, so I heard that all, and I was like, oh, I can't do it. So the four guys, they've got everything they wanted. They've won. They have the victory. And even though they were outcasts, even though they had been forgotten, even though they felt like losers, when they won the victory, they said, you know what? This is not right. We can't just keep this to ourselves. Let's go back into the city and let's let them know about this great victory. And the king, they didn't even believe it at first. The king thought it was a trick. But as it winds up, they share this victory with all of Israel. Can I tell you, when God gets ready to bring you out, he wants you to share your victory. And the way you do that is take the grace and mercy, forgiveness and love that you have been shown, and you decide, I am going to show this to someone else. I'm going to give this to someone else in my life. I'm going to make a point to give mercy. And we all need it. We all need mercy. We all need hope. Tie your victory. See that your victory is connected to others. It's one other thing I want to show you about coming out of a detour. And that's to persevere. To persevere. We don't use that word much anymore. It simply means that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing forward. Persevere. Look in Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let me just stop right there. It's really easy to get tired of trying to do the right thing and get tired of trying to do good, especially when people misunderstand you. Or even if you fail and you're ashamed of yourself and you feel like you're a loser again, and you just think, what's the use in me continuing to try? Well, Paul is addressing this, and he says, don't become weary of doing good. Don't get tired of it. It's worth it. He says, for at the proper time, and remember last week I said there's an appointed time for every detour to end. There is an appointed time for every detour to end, and Paul says, at the proper time, if you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Luke 18:1, Jesus is sharing parables with his disciples, and the Bible says Jesus told this parable to teach his disciples to always pray and never give up. Say, never give up. Never give up on your marriage. Never give up on your finances. Never give up on your own purity. Never give up on your goal, on your purpose, because God is not giving up on you. And there's one thing that you can do when you feel hopeless. There's one thing with your brokenness, with your broken body, with your broken life, with your broken relationships. There's one choice that you can make today, and that is the choice to persevere. That is the choice to keep moving toward God. Keep asking forgiveness if that's what it takes. Keep coming back until he teaches you, delivers you, and brings you out. Persevere. It's not easy to persevere. You can feel like you're at the end of your rope. You feel like you've been living in a deep, dark cavern. And it's, there's no apparent way out. The future to you seems an impossibility. It's a place you can't reach. But there's one final choice to make before you quit. There's one final choice to make before you give up on yourself, before you give up on your dream, on your purpose, before you give up on God. And that choice is to persevere. Listen, there's a reason for this beyond yourself. Because you're in a battle, all right. But this battle's not all about you. Remember we said connect it to others? You're in a battle for souls. You are in a battle for souls. Say this out loud. I am in a battle for souls.
I am in a battle for souls.
Yes. You say, Pastor Keith, I don't understand that. God wants us all to reach others. And if the enemy can keep me in detours and in dysfunction and self-centered and dealing with all of my stuff and I never turn outward, then I'm going to lose a battle for souls. The reason the enemy wants you broken and dysfunctional and hurt and ashamed and hiding is so that you cannot have any impact on others. It's not just about you. It's about souls. Listen to this. Don't waste what you've been through. Don't waste what you've been through. Make it pay, and make it pay off in souls. Make up your mind. I'm not going to waste this pain. These stupid mistakes that I've made, I'm going to learn from them. These sins that I have committed over and over, I'm going to be set free. And now the way I'm going to make it pay is I'm going to be able to look into someone else's eyes and I'm going to be able to say, I understand what you're going through and there's hope for you. Now here, let me help you out and let's walk out of this together because your soul is important and your soul is what I've been battling for. I thought it was all about me, but it's really about others. As Trey comes. This is a simple little statement, but I want you to remember this. It's a faith walk, not a cakewalk. It's not just you're not tiptoeing through the tulips serving Christ. It's a faith walk. There are times when you absolutely don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't understand. You're on a detour, but at some point, you have to put your faith in God. You have to stop running. You have to serve others and get involved with someone else's life. Somebody who's stuck. You know, sometimes out here in this part of the country, we get stuck in the mud. Somebody will get their truck stuck. My dad, we had a 1969 step-side Chevy. Men with a positive traction rear end, a 283, three gears on the column. You with me, men, some of y'all? My daddy thought you could not get that truck stuck, so we would hit anything. If me and my brother were driving, we were in the woods, we'd see a big hole, daddy'd say, hit it. How many of you know we got stuck a lot? But that old truck came through a lot, too. But we would get out, and we have to, I don't know if you've ever been in this, you dig the mud away from the tires, you stick sticks and boards and stuff under there to try to get traction. Sometimes we'd let the air out of the tires. And you had to work to, and if you ever help somebody else get out of a bog when you're stuck like that, boy, I mean, you just get in there and you're digging mud and you're trying to get out of stuff. And if you're helping somebody, you're going to get, I mean, you know, they're driving a Chevy and you're driving a Ford. You're going to have to help them out of there. I'm just riling the men up a little bit. Better yet, you're driving a Jeep and you pull both of them out. You're going to get muddy in the process. You were clean when you came up on them and they were stuck in the mud. But by the time you get through helping them, you're covered with mud too. You know what? Sometimes that's what it's like in this faith walk. When we decide we're going to serve others and we're going to get in a battle for souls, we've got to be willing to get some mud on us. Get a little mud on the tires. That could be a country song. Would you stand with me? God wants to bring you out of the detour today. It's his plan and his desire. And I try to be real with you guys. I don't know if you hear me when I say I have detours. We all do. The thing is I don't want to stay on a detour. I don't want to keep myself from what God has for me. I want to learn what I need to learn. I want to have peace in the middle of it without fear. I especially don't want to stay on a detour of sin. I don't want to keep doing that. Keep detouring myself. Because it's not only about me. Somebody else out there needs me. They need me to be whole. So I just want to call you today, just to call you out and say, God wants you to come out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. If you'd say, Pastor Keith, that's me today, I think it's time for me to start winding my way out of this detour, and I'm asking God to help me. Pastor, I want God right in the middle of this. I want his help. I want to stop running. Stop running to alcohol. Stop running to drugs. Stop running to sex. Stop running to work, to money. And I want to fall in the arms of Jesus. Pastor, I want to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. It's time for me to come out of this detour. It's not just about me. If that's you, while nobody's looking around and you want me to pray for you, would you just slip up your hand? Nobody's looking. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, we love you. We fail. The enemy comes against us, Lord, and we let him sidetrack us. We let him deceive us. But today, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us, on every hand that's raised, that we would not be sidetracked. Lord, your word says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we are yours. We invite you in, and we say, help. And we choose to receive your grace and mercy. In the name of Jesus, you receive grace and mercy and not condemnation. I pray this over your life. May God begin to guide you out of this detour and this pain. In Jesus' name, I pray it, that your victory would be tied to others, that you would serve your way out. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If the prayer team would come. If you put your eyes on man, man will always let you down. Good men will let you down. Good women will let you down. They're just, none of us are perfect. We should all strive to be able to say what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But if you follow me as I follow Christ, you're going to see me stumble and fall sometimes. If you follow Michael or Richard or Sarah, Morgan, anybody. These guys are going to stumble too. So can I just tell you today, if you're disappointed in man, if you're disappointed in church, if you're disappointed in religion, turn your eyes toward Jesus. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. No man is going to bring you out of this detour. No man is going to be able to heal your heart. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking to someone. It's because you put so much dependence on what you can get out of a relationship that you are hurting the way you are today, because you were let down. Even in a marriage, as much as you can love a husband or a wife, you still got to have God to make up. He's got to be there for what he or she can't do. So wherever you are today, take your eyes off of man. Get them on Jesus. Get them on Jesus. Let's just take our time here. It's not 12:30 yet. Let's just listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. It would seem easier just to live in shame, to live in the shadows. It would seem easier not to lift your head, because it may seem like every time you do, you just fall again or someone knocks you down again. But I just speak to you and into the spiritual realm today that you can throw your shoulders back and you can lift your head up. Because the Lord is your Redeemer. He is the Savior of your soul. And His righteousness in you shines like the noonday sun. And it shines brighter than your failure and brighter than your sin and brighter than your past. Even if your past was last night, God's righteousness shines brighter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't get nervous. Don't wait for what I'm doing next. Just stand in God's presence for a moment. Of God reign in your life. Let the peace of God reign in your life. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you just need to slow down. Let God in. Just stop running and let God in. Amen. Would you look at me this morning? I love you guys. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? We don't deserve it. But He delights in giving us what we don't deserve. He delights in making His presence known to us, showing mercy to us. And I'm about to bless you. I'm not praying for you. I'm just going to pronounce a blessing. But after I do, the prayer team is here. I want you to take a step of faith today. I want you to do something you've never done if you've never done it. And that's to come and let someone pray with you. These people struggle too. We stumble too, I told you, but they have faith that they want to share with you. Paul said, we're all men. We're all human. We all face temptation. We all struggle. But let's agree together in faith that we're all going to walk out of detours. Amen? Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May you have the strength that you need this week to face the obstacles, the enemies, and even the attacks. Suit up with the full armor of God. Take your stand against the devil in the name of Jesus. Be strengthened in your spirit. May God's favor rest upon you. May God's favor rest upon you. Listen, had a report from someone coming in the last service that they were just working their job, doing what they do. A new job hadn't even been posted. But the company came to them and said, hey, we've got a promotion. Do you want it? It's like, yeah, I'll take that. That's God's favor. And that is a follower of Christ working a job that somebody can look at and go, this is a guy we want to promote. So may God's favor rest upon you. Somebody else said they went on a business trip this weekend. They didn't know where they were going to have to speak. They wound up having to speak, and God, they said a little prayer. God helped me know what to say, and He said He just lit the audience up. Just lit them up. God's favor, amen? Amen. So may God's favor rest upon you. May God's favor rest upon you. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You have it because you're His child. men. May he increase your realm of influence. I love you guys. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer. Don't miss Wednesday night. It's going to be a great service.